This programme was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee. The Commissioner of Irish Lights tells us that there are up to 70 lighthouses scattered around the coast of Ireland. This documentary, however, will tell the story of An Talán an Coppola, or Capel Island, off the coast of the Knockadoon Peninsula, a lighthouse that never was. We will tell the story of how a tragedy at sea halted the construction of a new lighthouse on Capel Island, even after the foundations had been dug and the first floor, complete with spiral staircase, had been completed. In this first episode, we will examine the importance of the island today as a beacon to seagoing vessels. Capel Island is now a bird sanctuary, but its history dates back several hundred years. Captain Robert McCabe is Director of Operations and Navigational Services for the Commissioner of Irish Lights and President of the Nautical Institute of Ireland. We begin our story here as he explains the importance of the island to the safety of those who take to the sea to earn a living.
Today it's less significant than it would have been back in the 1800s, the mid-1800s, when it was first erected. You have to put your mind into seafarers of that time. You're moving from the age of sail into the age of steam, but you're at a time when the mariner still has a lot of difficulty in getting their exact position. So they could be out of position by quite a ways, and lighthouses and beacons had a very real importance to the mariner and indeed to trade at that time. So the first proposals to build Capel Island have to be seen in that context of a lighthouse there on that south coast of Ireland for ships. And you have to think of trade in Ireland, I suppose, as well. I mean, Youghal would have been a much busier port than it is today. I mean, you go down to Youghal today, there's occasional ships coming in. But in those days, Youghal would have been busy. A lot of those smaller ports along the coast would be busy. And it was on the route then from Dublin and from the UK to Cork itself. So no lighthouse at the time on Minehead or the tower where Capel Island is or Ballycotton. So there was no aids to navigation really from Conningbeg off the Waterford River until you arrived off Cork Harbour. And this is a big stretch of water, quite often very bad conditions, particularly for sailing vessels and for those early steam vessels that were very underpowered compared to ships today. So really important in its day.
Following the sinking of the Sirius, the Pike family, who were wealthy merchants at the time, lobbied for the lighthouse to be moved to Ballycotton. They were successful in their endeavours, and building was abruptly halted. Ballycotton Island is the more famous neighbour to Capel Island, with its lighthouse standing proud, providing safe navigation and passage for ships for over 150 years. Capel Island stands just along the coast from Youghal and the mighty River Blackwater, and is approximately 500 metres offshore from Knockadoon Peninsula.
The lighthouse construction started on Capel Island. It would have been a lighthouse very similar to what's on Ballycotton, although at the time people within what's now Irish Lights would have been of a view that maybe Ballycotton was the better station. But you have to see it in the overall context of the trade in the area, and it was seen probably on balance that Capel Island served a wider range of shipping maybe, but the trade at the time, lighthouses were vital to it. Any of our lighthouses, you'll almost inevitably see letters from local merchants and local businesses saying, you know, there's an unacceptable loss of vessels and lives and cargo in this area, and we need an aid to navigation at X, Y or Z. And that was the case with both Capel Island. I mean, there was campaigning, I suppose, for an aid there from the late 20s to the 40s, and then ultimately a quite short notice because of the serious incident that station was moved to Ballycotton.
The importance of seafaring vessels carrying goods in and out of Ireland cannot be overstated. Although the Great Famine had ravaged many families across the country, goods continued to be transported by sea. Sadly, many desperate families would use these ships to escape starvation and to take their chances of building a new life in another country.
You didn't have the road network between Cork and Dublin or Cork and Waterford or Cork and the Shannon. So the port served the hinterland, and that's why there was a lot of smaller ports as well, like Youghal and Skull and places like that would have been much more active. So the port was really important to the area because there was no, you didn't transport goods by road out of that area. They came in by sea and they served at the relatively local area, so every port was important. But Cork at the time, as you say, in a huge period of growth. Mm-hmm. And the country at the time, I mean, despite the fact that in other parts of the country you have the famine raging, like we're in 1847 here, in the big cities, the trade was still thriving.
the importance of lighthouses and beacons to the seafaring industry is unquantifiable, as Captain McCabe explains.
Every single one of our lighthouses and our aids to navigation, whether it's a lighthouse, a buoy or a beacon, it brings something special to that safety mix. It has a purpose. It wouldn't be built there. It wouldn't exist if it didn't have a purpose to safety. And we wouldn't keep it on today if it didn't. So Capel Island, while it might look to be a very simple station compared to, say, a bigger lighthouse, it actually does have a really important purpose. And who knows in the future how that purpose will change, because they can become platforms for new equipment, for new services, you know? So it's an interesting future, I think. And
so we should be proud of it.
We should be absolutely proud of it and look out on it. And I don't know the full history of the island and what's out there. In looking back for today, I see rumours of pirate gold buried out there. I'm very tempted to make sure we fence off our property, you know, if there's some gold lurking underneath it, you know. But anything to do with the sea has a fabulous story, and a lot of that story, of course, is built on sadness and wrecks and horrible incidents. But a lot of it is built too, you know, you look at lives lost, but you look at how many lives were saved by Capel Island, Ballycotton, Minehead, and that string of aids to navigation. How many ships saw that light and that beacon just in time and veered off and were saved? And that's the positive side of it that we don't see, because we always see the disaster. Capel Island, I suppose people see as the lighthouse that never was. It still has a real value that it marks that point of land for the mariner, and it certainly has a future as well.
Capel Island's history is closely linked with that of shipbuilding, and merchant shipping was a thriving industry in Cork in the early 19th century. The story begins in the mid-1840s, when a series of shipwrecks off the coastline of Ireland prompted the Cork Steamship Company, owned by the Pike family, to request the construction of a lighthouse on Capel Island to avert the frequency of wrecks along the unlit coast between the old head of Kinsale and Hook Head. The Pike family had acquired ground on Capel Island in 1846, and construction of a lighthouse had already begun. However, a tragedy occurred which was to seal the fate of the proposed lighthouse and set the wheels in motion for Ballycotton Lighthouse to be built in its stead. Local Cork historian Kieran McCarthy explains.
If you went back in a time machine like 200 years ago, so if you landed back in 1818, and let's take that back another 18 years to 1800, you're dealing with a city that over the previous 100 years, so 1700 to 1800, got rid of its town walls. There was vast expansion. And what I mean by vast expansion, like the population of the city went from 20,000 people in the year 1700 to 80,000 people by the year 1800. So, and that causes its own problems in terms of a need for building new houses, hospitals, schools, quaysides. And also there are huge opportunities for merchants. You need to feed, we say, the new kind of population. And you've got a lot of some of the rich merchants that are, I suppose, living outside of town. So one of those families would have been the Pike family, who owned Besborough House in the southeast in the Mahon Peninsula. I mean, away from everyone, has a big mansion, a huge wall around their estate, walled gardens, a winding pathway, a winding road leading to their house. And they weren't alone. One of the aspects about the Pikes is that they were a member of the Quaker contingent in Cork. Right throughout the 1700s, it was the Quaker religious community and the Huguenot religious community that were heavily involved in reclaiming land.
Rich merchants living in the Cork region were the property investors of their time. They had huge influence over Cork City, with many of them rising to high office in the city and county. I asked Kieran how this period of intense growth in the shipping industry impacted on the city of Cork.
These Quaker and Huguenot merchants became mayors of Cork, they became councillors of Cork, they became freemen of Cork. They were very well respected. They were investing money. The Pikes originally were part of Oliver Cromwell's kind of new model army. They became Quakers, and they settled originally kind of near Kilcrane at a farm in Macroom, and then over time began to become heavily involved in different industries in the city. So 1820s, you've got Ebenezer Pike setting up the Cork Steamship Company, but it's also involved in a huge kind of linen trade as well, and also had kind of lands in the suburbs of the city, apart from Besborough, lands kind of beyond kind of Ballincollig. So these people are also kind of property developers. They have an enormous amount of money. They can draw on a whole series of friends. What's interesting is that you're dealing with a, like 200 years ago, you're dealing with a boom time as well in Cork. These merchants were riding on the crest of an economic boom. The year 1800, there was 100,000 barrels of butter exported. There was 60,000 barrels of beef. You have like 100,000 barrels of beer being exported from the brewery of Beamish and Crawford. You have tan yards kind of emerging, dealing with the skins and the cattle who were slaughtered. You're dealing with a really interesting time of growth.
The City of Cork Steam Packet Company had its origins in the St. George Steam Packet Company, formed by businessmen from Cork, Dublin and Liverpool in 1821. It provided steam services between Irish and UK ports, including direct services between Cork and Liverpool and Bristol. The company was reorganised in 1843 and renamed the City of Cork Steamship Company under the direction of Ebenezer Pike. All its first directors being Corkmen, the headquarters was located at Penrose Quay.
I suppose out of that, there was this huge need to ship all of this growth as well, all these kind of barrels, these firkins of butter. In the late 1700s, early 1800s, people wanted to ship their goods quicker. Like globalisation was beginning to kind of creep in more and more. Like the 1700s was the age of sail. The 1800s was going to be the age of steam engines. And so there was huge investment in quaysides, huge investment in dockers. We don't have an enormous amount of archival material on the life of dock workers in Cork. There's a lot of work perhaps done in from about dockers in the early 20th century kind of onwards. So we can only imagine what life was like kind of hauling things on ships with 20 steamships constantly going in and out of the city.
The company owned vessels including the Sirius, the Cormorant and the Dodo. In 1838, the company's vessel, the Sirius, under Captain Roberts, became the first steamer to cross the Atlantic, arriving in New York from Cork on the 22nd of April. Sadly, on the 16th of January 1847, the paddle ship struck the Smith's Rock southwest of Ballycotton in dense fog and became a total wreck. 20 passengers and crew drowned, but about 70 survived. At the time of the shipwreck, the tower on Capel Island was about 6 feet above the cut stone. The owners of the Sirius lobbied for a lighthouse to be constructed off Ballycotton instead, as its rocks were deemed more hazardous to shipping following the ill-fated sinking. Work on Capel Island was promptly suspended. It was decided that it would not be economically viable to move Capel Island's tower to Ballycotton brick by brick, so the tower was completed to the second story and finished off as an unlit beacon. At the outbreak of the First World War, the Cork Steam Packet Company continued to operate cross-channel and other European sailings. One of their ships, the Kenmare, had a lucky escape in June 1915 off the Yale coast when a torpedo narrowly missed her. She had been returning from Liverpool, laden with essential supplies, when she was fired upon near the Cork coast. This was the fourth time she had been attacked by a German submarine. She was chased by the sub between Ardmore and Capel Island, but managed to shake off her deadly pursuer with no lives lost. Here is how it was reported at the time.
As World War I continues to rage across Europe, the brave captain and crew of the SS Kenmare had a lucky escape today off the coast of Cork. The German U-boat, believed to be the notorious UB-64, gave chase, but was outmaneuvered by the captain of the SS Kenmare, who darted behind Capel Island off the coast of Knockadoon for safety. The plucky captain managed to outsmart infamous Captain Otto van Schrader, who has built up a reputation of sinking boats all across the Irish coast with many lives lost. But today was not the day for that. Despite being fired upon, the torpedo missed its target and the SS Kenmare made it home to the port of Cork, shaken but unscathed. The crew of 27 brave men live to fight another day and continue on their mission to ensure the people of Cork have essential supplies from our nearest neighbours while the war rages on across Europe. Heroes all!
2018 marked the 100th anniversary of the World War II sinking of the SS Kenmare, who was struck without warning by a torpedo 25 miles off the Dublin coast. 27 crew members were drowned and 6 survived. On Capel Island today, the impressive sandstone and limestone structure that was left behind is about 7.5 metres high and is surrounded by a high wall. A slight dome forms the top of the building, which once held a large decorative sphere, but this has since fallen to the ground. Although the lighthouse remains unfinished, it still plays an important part in the history of Irish lighthouses. In the next episode, we will speak to Pat Smiddy, a local expert on birdlife and wildlife in the area, as well as hearing sounds from Capel Island itself, something that has never before been captured on radio. Ilan an Coppola, The Lighthouse That Never Was, was made by Capel Island Productions. This programme was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee. Written, produced and presented by Orla Reardon, edited by Sean Healy.